The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive on Thursday, December 4th, 2025. Gee, only less than a month left of this year, believe it or not. And here we are, live and local in our studio this morning with our guest, Ricardo Morales. He is the Commissioner of Public Works here in the city of Pittsfield, here for the full hour this morning to talk about all manner of public works, everything from talking about the first snowstorm of the year to water plant upgrades and road projects, all kinds of things to talk about with Commissioner Morales. Looking forward to that conversation, obviously. Hope everyone's Thanksgiving was wonderful. This is my first time back on the air since then. And also, I want to throw a word of thanks into all the folks who supported our Radiothon fundraiser this year. Very much appreciated, and keeps our radio station running and on the air and doing programs like this. So we appreciate it very much. All right, let's do the weather forecast and see what Mother Nature has in store for us today. Here we go from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. A slight chance of snow showers this morning, then a chance of snow showers this afternoon. Blustery, cold with highs in the lower 30s. Temperature falling into the lower 20s this afternoon. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour, increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of snow 40%. Tonight, mostly clear. Much colder with lows around 3 below. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour, diminishing to 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour after midnight. Wind chill values as low as 11 below. Friday, sunny, cold with highs in the mid-20s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, you know, when we run out of weather music, the voice just sort of continues after that. It's a long forecast. So.
Yeah.
But it should be interesting. First below zero temperature that I've heard on the weather forecast. So tonight, going to dip right down there. It's going to be very cold. A little warmer, I think, for tomorrow night's Christmas tree lighting out at Park Square, which will be really nice. Obviously covered by PCTV as well, but we always encourage people to go out and participate in that event. It's a wonderful event right downtown Pittsfield.
Yeah, I was this morning talking with my son about, you know, we were the only ones awake.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the wind chill. And, yeah. You know, because we were looking at the forecast and, you know, he's 8 years old. And I tell him, yeah, it's going to be zero or below zero tomorrow morning, early morning. But look at this. Wind chill factor this, you know, later this afternoon and into the early night is going to be making it very cold.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, when you get to the 25 to 35 mile an hour winds and the weather, you know, dropping in temperature, that's when you really have to pay attention.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited to talk about public works, as I'm sure everyone is.
I think that's why they tune into Morning Drive.
Yeah, you know, it's an assumption I make that I don't want to know if I'm right or wrong. I just think that everyone likes public works.
It touches everyone's lives one way or another. And even if you didn't know that, you will know that after we have this interview today. So let's talk about the white stuff, because that is, first of all, you know, on everyone's mind. You look out the window, all the trees have the nice white. It looks like a little Currier and Ives painting out there right after Tuesday's snowstorm. The storm wasn't quite as big, as at least for Pittsfield, as they kind of predicted it would be. There were some other bands that hit sort of to the north and west of us that I noticed got the 11 and 12 inches that they were talking about. Pittsfield ended up with about, what, five and a half inches?
I'm going to say the average is around five and a half. If you look at lower elevations, we got that five inches. Higher elevations got close to seven. So somewhere around that, we have a quite the difference in altitude and elevation within Pittsfield.
But it did kind of continuously snow all day, right?
Yeah.
It was one of those storms where it wasn't like it just blasted us and then went away, or it wasn't the mixture of sleet and freezing rain and all the other stuff that is a real hazard on the road. It was just that constant snow. So how did the Public Works Department deal with this storm? Was this kind of a garden variety one for you?
Yeah, so there are many different types of, you know, storms in how we, and there's as many types of ways of treating each of them, right? Mm-hmm. And when it comes to, you know, selecting one preferred option for dealing with for Public Works, this is up in the top three of, you know, what we prefer to deal with.
Yeah.
We don't like to deal with fringe conditions, right? Between freezing rain and snow and rain.
Yeah.
That causes issues for us, you know, and for the drivers.
Yeah.
Very icy conditions. That's very difficult to deal with. This, a constant, you know, the perfect scenario would be during nighttime.
Yeah.
You know, no commuting happening, no peak hour traffic, low volumes. That would be perfect scenario.
Mm.
That didn't happen. It happened, you know, the bulk of the snow occurred in the afternoon. Mm. Of course, by that time, we already had like 3 inches of snow that we were dealing with, weaving in and out of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole day affair, like you mentioned, and it was right in the, you know, smack in the middle of the daytime, which we're out there, we're dealing with it. People are also out there.
Yeah.
It helped that there's no school, so there's a little bit less traffic.
Right.
Less. But it's definitely, it's easier than dealing with other types of winter events. Mm. We were expecting closer to the 7 to 8, and some forecasts, some models were talking about this phenomenon that is hyper localized phenomenon that occurs for, you know, the Albany region and the Berkshires, where there's, they call it the converge, the on. I forget the name. It's some convergence of two directions of wind on the tail end of this type of storm where it comes from, and it can dump an additional, the weather forecasters were calling, you can get bonus snow.
Yeah.
You
just
know,
what
up
we
to,
need, bonus
up to like
snow.
3 or 4 inches additional.
Yeah.
That's why some models were calling for 11 inches, close to 12 inches. So, you know, we were hoping that didn't happen, and it didn't.
Yeah.
So that was good. That was a plus.
And it can, you know, that's the thing, is that there's a certain amount you can predict, and you sort of know what the game plan is, I would imagine, going into the storm as things get clearer. But then you really don't know actually what's going to happen. And
right.
We saw those bands that formed and did pile up a little bit away from us.
Right.
And sometimes it happens as an altitude thing, right? So there's all kinds of things that you have to factor in. But I suppose you have to be ready for any of those scenarios. You sort of know what you're going into, but then say, okay, but if something else happens, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, this type of event, when it happened, the probability of this event, right? It's five and a half, six inches of snow. We're out there, we're plowing, we have a full force, everyone working on this. It's very visible.
Yeah,
you know, the effects are visible. So people realize and learn, you know, hey, we're out there, we're taking care of it. It's very different when we are battling some other types of, you know, events where it's less visible and people don't realize that we're out there, or, you know, our guys are out there working through the night or working to get our roads in better shape.
Yep.
So I like the visibility this gives to our workers, which, you know, we wouldn't be, you know, talking about this as a successful event, taking care of it, if it wasn't for them.
Yeah. And I feel like we do have to give them credit where credit is due. Sometimes we don't think about it. We just like to see the roads clear and, you know, don't think about it beyond that. But there are real people in those trucks and plows for, you know, hours on end doing routes over and over and over to keep people safe. So it's really, you know, hats off to those folks for
absolutely
putting that in.
Hats off to the DPW workers, to the contractors, to other, you know, departments that assist with the snow removal in different areas. My work as commissioner focuses for when we're talking about a snowstorm, it focuses mainly on being ready,
mm-hmm.
right? The preparation, making sure that we're all talking about this and we're prepared. We have the right tools and the right equipment and the right knowledge and training. That's the far preparation. The near preparation is, you know, a couple days before something like this is coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about communications. We're talking about, you know, what we're going to be doing, the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to that game plan being executed, now you're talking about the, you know, operations. Right now we have our deputy commissioner, Jason Murphy. He's taking the reins on doing and running with this, mm-hmm. with the operations.
And that was something, that position was added in the last year, correct?
That position started in March, mm-hmm. April, or between February and March. And yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's crucial to have someone in that capacity. We still have our highway superintendent,
mm-hmm.
You know, Zeke, Austin Libano,
mm-hmm.
AKA Zeke. He is a veteran of, you know, dealing with snowstorms. Mm-hmm. He's been with the department for several years on and off, and he's more than capable. But having the ability to have, you know, someone at the level of the commissioner, at the level of a deputy commissioner, dealing with calling the shots and making decisions on the go based on the conditions. And not only that, you know, making sure that our management team is able to do what they're doing in different aspects, right? Mm-hmm. Some folks are dealing with contractors. Some folks are dealing with our in-house guys,
mm-hmm.
In the main routes. Some folks are out there making sure that the quality of the snow plowing is in good shape.
Yeah, and just maybe remind people again how it works in Pittsfield, because you employ some regular public works people that are manning those large trucks, the ones that do all of the main routes, right? Those are city-owned vehicles. And then the smaller routes are done by contractors, so people that own their own equipment, their plows and their trucks, and they go out and they do that for the city. And then you sort of divide it up into sections of the city. Is it in quadrants or is it in different ways? Sort of explain that for people.
Yeah, so they're called quadrants. They're neighborhood streets. And they may not be smaller or shorter in distance when you add them up, but they are certainly neighborhood streets as opposed to your more traveled collectors and arterial streets in the city.
The big streets we think of are obviously North Street, South Street, East and West, Elm Street, I would imagine, Tyler Street, Dalton Ave. Those are sort of the big streets that the city DPW folks are handling.
Yeah. Valentine Road,
okay.
Churchill. All when you think of mostly all the streets that have double yellow lines.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way of just visualizing which are those.
Yeah.
When you get to
Holmes Road, neighborhood streets. Yeah. Dalton Division Road.
Right. Mm. So that is taken care of. We divide that into six routes that cover not six streets, but six total routes that cover multiple streets within each route.
Mm.
Some of them have, because of the nature of it, you know, you have your east-west route and your north-south route, right?
Okay.
That is mostly going to be comprised of North and South Street, East and West Street.
And you like the ability of that route getting cleared in a certain amount of time? How long does it take usually?
So under perfect conditions, you can, and not much snow, you can go in and out on that route in like an hour and a half.
Mm.
Under heavy traffic, heavy snow, treatment, maintaining a good speed, you're doing, you know, 2 hours, two and a half hours.
Okay.
And to so complete that route.
It all just depends.
Yeah.
And then the contractors sometimes are going out after those main routes are done. So that's why some of the neighborhood streets might be in different condition. Like you might be driving down a main route and then turn onto one of your neighborhood streets and you're like, wow, this hasn't been touched. Or maybe it has been, but I just hasn't been done as frequently. Is that kind of what happens?
Yeah, we have, you know, people think that, you know, right outside my street on Elm Street, it's clear, it's been plowed multiple times, mm-hmm. and my street has not been touched. Well, that contractor may have not been able to get to your street, right? And we're not going to have the main route staff to go into the neighborhood streets. Mm-hmm. So that's where that discrepancy comes from. Mm. And at the same time, we do start contractors right when it's plowable.
Oh, okay.
So
they're out there basically at the same time.
There's a distinction. When we're dealing with a snow plowable snow event, we're calling them in for when it is plowable, right? We're not calling them in waiting. Let's wait. Now you can go. Mm. We're calling them in. You can go. We're usually with good forecasting. We can tell them expect a call for this time.
And what's plowable snow? A certain number of inches?
Yeah, you're talking over an inch. Mm-hmm. When you got some accumulation, depending on the time of day.
Yeah.
If it's at night, we call them in a little later, mm-hmm. right? Two inches maybe. Mm-hmm. If it's during the day, we want to keep the streets. So for this event, snowfall started around 8:30, and we had planned to get them in by 8 in the morning. But it had been delayed
a
little bit.
Yeah, it didn't really start until sort of around 9 here.
Right.
Yeah.
So come 9 o'clock, it came in quick. Within 30 minutes, you had plowable streets.
Wow.
So contractors were out there.
Huh.
As opposed to our main routes, we want to maintain some more passable conditions for emergency vehicles, for in general traffic, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So at 4 in the morning, getting ready for this, we were treating our streets, mm-hmm. our main routes. So our staff dealing with the main roads were out there dealing with the main routes mm-hmm. since 4 in the morning.
And that's salting, sanding, different chemicals, different treatment
right.
for that?
Yeah, we were using for this event, we were using our rock salt and we were spreading that since 4 in the morning.
Is that less expensive to do than some of the other treatments? The rock salt, is that kind of the basic?
Yeah, that's untreated mm-hmm. Rock salt. We do have the ability to immediately treat it before it goes into the road,
mm-hmm.
thanks to the tanks of liquid magnesium chloride we have on each of our main trucks. Mm. So if we want to turn on, it's a flick of a switch, essentially, for lack of a better term, you start mixing in the liquid with the rock salt, and now you have a mixed, an enhanced product.
Okay. Interesting. We're speaking with Commissioner Ricardo Morales. He's a commissioner of public works here in the city of Pittsfield. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, talking about the last snowstorm, which just a couple days ago. And it seems to me like we might have a more normal winter this year. I don't know. Things could turn around and change, but it seems like the cold air settled in quicker this year than it has, and we certainly didn't stick around with the green grass or the brown grass for very long this year. So I just have a feeling that it's going to be a more traditional winter. Anything could happen, and we had that kind of freaky storm on Veterans Day this year too, and that was a lake effect snow. I mean, we don't usually see the lake effect snow from the Great Lakes.
There were two things
come into Berkshire County, and then that just persisted all day, didn't it?
Yeah, there were two things happening, not just that lake effect. Mm. It is assisted by the lake effect, but then I learned, by reviewing the forecasting, mm-hmm. and after the forecasting, the day after
Monday morning quarterback,
yeah, the weather forecasters were talking about. I recall seeing a post from them saying, like, people in the Berkshires are saying, "What the heck?"
Yeah, we were supposed to just get a few snowflakes, right? And all of a sudden, it's like,
right.
"No, this isn't stopping, and it's piling up."
And what they call what happened is an effect of the uplift conditions caused by the lake effect crossing over into the Berkshires. Hmm. Sometimes this uplift is very difficult to predict.
Hmm.
And their models were calling for something that was not much.
Yeah.
And it ended up being much, right? It ended up being significant.
Yeah.
And
lake effect snow is tough, and I went to school in Syracuse, and we were the victims of lake effect snow pretty much the entire winter, and it can just creep up on you and continue and persist for a long time, and all of a sudden you have a buildup. It just happens.
Yeah. So the good thing is what I want to communicate about this in terms of that storm or that lake effect event, you know, we had our equipment ready. We saw that something could be possible. Our people were ready. As soon as we saw that this was going to be more than just what we were anticipating, we were out there immediately. And, you know, a lot of people do not see or want to think of public works as emergency responders. But in fact, in the state, public works is designated as an emergency responder, you know, entity. And for winter, it is never a truer statement in any other part of the year, except, you know, during wintertime. That's when we think of very easily of public works as emergency responders.
Right. Well, and of course, what you're doing as an emergency responder in a situation like that is keeping the access clear for the other emergency responders,
right?
So if there are cars going off the road, that means you need fire trucks and ambulances, police cars, you need wreckers, you need people having access to those roads that are clear and work for them as well to assist people, right? So it is kind of an all hands type of a thing.
That's true. And, you know, we responded with the, you know, as fast as we could with our equipment being ready. That was, you know, fairly quick. And we were out there. And I like to think of it as, you know, had we not been able to respond as quick as we did, we would have seen more more instances of, you know, people on the side of the road and things like that. So
what time of the year do you usually get things ready? Because that was November 11th, and you could definitely have a snowstorm, as we've seen here, some big snowstorms even in October.
I recall 2011, the first year I was here, the first year, my first year in Pittsfield. October, it was the snowtober, right?
Yeah.
It was like October 30th.
There
was a snowstorm, I think. I can't remember
right
now.
My kids went out and trick-or-treated in like 12 inches of snow that year.
We didn't have kids at the time. We did not trick-or-treat, but that was a good, you know, snow surprise, and we were playing in the snow, me and my wife. Anyways, if you look at, if you judge how or when we're ready based on our budget, looking at our expenses, you can see that we're getting ready since the beginning of the year, the fiscal year, right? Since July.
Wow.
So we'll start seeing some hits for equipment purchases, parts, repairing equipment. That's the bulk of the readiness is the equipment readiness. And that happens early in the fiscal year.
Yeah, you got to have that before any rubber hits the road, right? You got to have the stuff working and all the parts. You don't want to be waiting for a part in November or December.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the wrap, and you're looking forward to the rest of the winter. We'll see how that goes. In the last few years, we've had a lot of, I feel like, ice events and sleet and freezing rain events and things. Those are no fun at all, right?
No, I'm going to say they're not fun to deal with, and they're not fun as a data-driven person that I am. I like to track everything, and I devised a system to track our effort, our expenses, how we do things, how we perform during the winter months in terms of how many inches we have and how many lane miles we have. So the last 2 years have been throwing all of my paperwork in a tizzy because the inches are not there, right? Yeah. But we're still spending money, and it can be, you know, the general public will say, why are we spending money if there's no snow? And the reality is, we spend almost as much money dealing with a slick road, icy formation that you're not seeing, as you know, as you see 6 inches of snow. We spend as much money, and we had 33 events around 33 events last year. That's as many events we had the year before, similar to the year before that. And you know, that's hours working out in the road.
It's just not obvious
material.
When you look out a window and you don't see the snow piled up and you say, okay, where did all this go? Right.
Right. So yeah, it's still, you know, we still have to be there, and that's where the money goes.
Yeah. Ricardo Morales is my guest here this morning, Commissioner of Public Works here in the city of Pittsfield. And let's move on from snow because we look out the window and we can see plenty of it, and I'm sure we'll have plenty more. In the paper yesterday, and obviously as a sort of story that's moving along, is the condition of a particular facility at the wastewater treatment plant. And so let's talk about this a little bit. Then you're looking for an upgrade to that building, a new building, right, to replace the existing building. Give us a little history of what that building is, when it was built, and what it's used for.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is the at the wastewater treatment facility down on Holmes Road. We've been treating water there for decades, mm-hmm. since the early part of the 1900s. Mm. And one of the first buildings that's still standing today is, or was at the time, a structure used for a garage, mm-hmm. and maintenance bay and such. In the 80s, that was turned into, or the 70s, mm-hmm. that was turned into a laboratory. Mm. It was remodeled or refurbished, mm-hmm. and turned into a laboratory. We need a laboratory in-house to perform tests to run the quality control of our treatment, mm-hmm. And to report, you know, from that information, that data collection to report to the regulatory agencies.
So that's a regular process that goes on all the time.
It is a regular process. No one knows about, mm-hmm. right? Who knows that the city has three, you know, a lab director and three lab techs and two lab techs.
Right. I wouldn't have thought
right.
that.
No, right. we it's something that people do not think about, mm-hmm. much, right?
Well, because when everything's functioning correctly, you don't have to think, which is the beauty of it, right? You don't have
right.
to think about it.
Right.
It's only when something doesn't work and you start to ask the question. So this sounds to be sort of a preventative measure. So the condition of the building currently, as it was remodeled over 50 years ago now, is not in a great condition. Is that
the condition accurate? Of the building is in horrible condition, and that's a qualitative term. In more specifics, you know, terms, there it's an aging infrastructure. Mm-hmm. There's mold growth. There's issues with the actual equipment that we are using or that we're unable to use, mm-hmm. because of their condition. And at the same time, I'm gonna put a pause on that.
Yeah.
At the same time, we have an administration building that was built around the same time, from a time where the processes in the plant were different, and the location and shape of the admin building needed to be a certain way, to be able to oversee the entire operation.
Okay.
Everything was controlled from that admin building. That doesn't work like that anymore. So we have
more electronic monitoring.
It's more electronic, remote. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a visual connection to the process, right?
Yeah.
So in a real way.
Not to mention there are cameras and things like that that you can have.
So now it's all controlled in different ways. You don't need this type of, if you picture a control tower in an airport, that's how it looks. That's how in a small airport you would see, if you go to the wastewater treatment plant, you'd think the admin building is reminiscent of a control tower.
Interesting.
And that's how it was designed. That's how things were done before. It's not needed in that way anymore. You don't need that visual connection in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of space that is that has in that administration building that has outlived its time. There's issues with heating, with water, with cooling. That is very expensive, not to mention unnecessary, because of the space is so big that we only have two offices there, and a classroom. So what we're doing with this is combining. All right, we need a better space for the lab to conduct their business. We need a more a better place, more effective, efficient, let's say, place for the administration staff. So let's combine them into one building. So this new building, we're calling the lab and admin building, has two offices, has a reception area, a classroom, and a laboratory. And some combined, you know, storage space and heating and cooling space and electrical rooms and all that necessary things, you know, bathrooms and all that stuff. Yeah. Shared space, right? We don't need to duplicate that. Yeah. What we're going to do with the old admin building is essentially, you know, leave it as a cold storage space. Mm-hmm. We don't need to put money into that now. Mm-hmm. And we have a better space for our staff to work their day-to-day activities. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're coming up to the top of the hour, Commissioner Morales, so we're going to take a pause here. We'll come back to talk more about the water treatment building plan and what the sort of timeline with that will be, whether approvals will happen and when, you know, you might go out to bid and break ground and things like that on a building like that. So let's hold that until the second half of the program, and we'll do our little top of the hour break right now. Okay, this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, also on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and we will be right back after this with Public Works Commissioner Ricardo Morales. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
For over four decades, Berkshire AHEC has been serving the health education needs of Berkshire County. We offer Massachusetts food allergen training, the Berkshire AHEC Health Scholars Program at BCC, medical interpreter training, and the Tobacco-Free Community Partnership. For more information, visit our website, berkshireahec.org, or call us at 413-842-5160. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Larry Cracker here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Nothing But Old 45s. I have an absolute blast playing my records here on WTBR for 2 hours every Monday morning, and I'll crank out the best of Top 40 Oldies and Classic Rock Mondays here on WTBR, the home of Nothing But Old 45 since 2014. Nothing But Old 45s, Mondays from 10 a.m. until noon, here on 89.7 WTBR FM for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge. And thanks for joining us here this morning, live on the radio from 4 Federico Drive. Glad to have you with us here this morning. Also watching us, of course, on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 and at PCTV Select at pittsfieldtv.org. Lots of ways to watch and listen to this program. We appreciate it, of course. Our Commissioner of Public Works, Ricardo Morales for the City of Pittsfield, here joining us for the full hour this morning. Right back to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what kind of cold temperatures are on tap for this evening. Here we go.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. A slight chance of snow showers this morning, then a chance of snow showers this afternoon. Blustery, cold with highs in the lower 30s. Temperature falling into the lower 20s this afternoon. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour, increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of snow 40%. Tonight, mostly clear. Much colder with lows around 3 below. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour, diminishing to 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour after midnight. Wind chill values as low as 11 below. Friday, sunny, cold with highs in the mid-20s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, so my takeaways from that weather forecast are gusts up to 45 miles per hour today. So that's going to feel, that's got to be that cold front coming through. And then it's going to dip down tonight and minus 3 surface temperature. But what do they say? Minus 11 wind chill. So do I even need to say, make sure you bring your pets in? My goodness, they should be inside no matter what this time of the year. Don't leave them out there for very long, and watch your kids too, for God's sake. It's going to be cold. Yeah. This is the first shot of really cold weather I think that we've gotten this year. So
yeah, I went to pick up my kid yesterday, and he was playing outside in the snow. We got home, he was playing outside in the snow.
Sure.
And today, tonight, and tomorrow, maybe tomorrow afternoon will be better.
Yeah.
But tonight, that's not going to be the case.
Yep. I'm going to hibernate tonight for sure.
Yeah.
Commissioner Ricardo Morales, a guest here on Morning Drive. We left off the last half hour with talking about the water plant, wastewater treatment plant building upgrade. So currently going from two older and outdated buildings to potentially a new, more modern space for a laboratory and administration building there in a place where most people don't think twice about having it. It just works. But there are real people doing work there and real work that goes on that has to continue in a good space. So what's the next step for getting a building like this approved? Is it at the city council right now for funding? Is it going to be bonded? How does that all work?
Yeah. So right now, the request is in front of the city council. They have been looking for a date for the finance committee to meet to approve the funding authorization. Mm-hmm. To borrow and bond this under the sewer enterprise.
Okay.
Funds.
And what was the price tag, you think, overall?
So we're at $15.2 million.
Okay.
That includes the construction, the contingency, mm-hmm, for any unforeseen circumstances, and it includes the construction administration for the project. Mm-hmm. So it's a all-in number. We have not bid this work. The mm-hmm design is ready.
Mm-hmm.
We did bid it a couple of years ago, and the price tag was too high mm-hmm at the time, and we decided to tweak it a little bit, work it out. Mm-hmm. We've been internally working out when is the right time to bring this forward. Very crucially, in the discussions about when is the right time to bring this forward, we have to think about what does this mean for the taxpayers, in this case,
right,
the rate payers, right, for water and sewer rates.
Because this wouldn't be going on people's property tax bills. This goes toward the rates that they pay for water and sewer.
The rates they pay for water and sewer would be eventually paying for the debt service mm-hmm that this project undertakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So importantly, we changed how we approach our rate structure,
right,
our rate system, right? So right now we have a way that is more predictable. We can say the rate change in any given year is dictated by the change in the consumer price index,
mm-hmm,
which drives how much money we have to pay for our, you know, under our expenses.
Sure.
Mainly for chemicals, for sludge handling, for utility maintenance in the facility.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things
Because all those prices will go up essentially with the cost of inflation.
Those prices will be modified will be affected by the market. And we have to shop that in the market, right? We have to go out. It's not stuff we can do. We cannot produce the chemicals we use. We have to buy them.
Right.
Chemicals go up. We need to increase our chemical budget, right? That's pure and simple.
Right. And then there's another component to that pricing strategy that was approved, I think, a year and a half ago.
Right. Like the other component is called the operational stability factor. What that does is it takes into account a few things. It takes into account our long-term planning. It takes into account our building of retained earnings. It takes into account our you know, different aspects of deferred maintenance and making sure that our operations can continue in an efficient way. This is one of those ways, right? We are anticipating, I'm gonna go back before so a few years ago, 8 years ago or so, we had just passed $74 million authorization for the new treatment facility, tertiary treatment,
right,
at the plant,
and a lot of that was mandated by EPA.
It was a 2010 permit that we were fighting, and eventually we had to comply with.
Yep.
At some point, what that turned into was a 50% increase in a 1 year in the sewer rate. What we're trying to do.
That's a huge gulp.
That
right
is
there,
a huge
50%.
Gulp. It turned into a 50% increase, big increase. Mm-hmm. What we're doing with the new system is not have to do a 50% increase. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is we're giving the residents a predictable way of anticipating what that is. Because a 50% increase today and zero increase later and zero increase the next year, and then another 25% increase the 30.
Yeah.
That is...
The zeros feel great when they happen, right? That nothing changes. And
but then
all
you're
of a sudden,
hit with a big one.
Yeah. So I'm sure that, you know, folks would want to know, under that new structure, would a building like this, where it gets approved and gets bonded and put in, will that also increase things, or will the OSF factor that you've already got, will that defray some of those costs?
So... What this means, and there was a question from the Berkshire Eagle. Reporters are asking the same thing, like, what does this mean for the ratepayers?
Sure.
We cannot tell right now what that is going to be exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, we cannot tell this is going to be an X number of, you know, rate increase. Mm-hmm. What we can do is say it is already anticipated in our planning, and our rate system is not showing any increases over, say, 7-8%.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not anticipating a big increase.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's certainly positive, right? To know that you have a methodology of building in necessary upgrades as they come, so that they're not a big surprise or a big shock to the system.
Correct.
So.
And that's the whole point of this system is having some predictability, and that stability of our rates.
Right. So certainly the city council will have some more questions for you than I do, and that will work its way through, and we'll see what happens with that project. But certainly wastewater and clean water delivery in the city of Pittsfield, both of those things, things that people don't think about until something doesn't work, and then they want to know why.
Right.
So always very important. You just one of those basic things that a city and a municipality can provide for its taxpayers and its ratepayers. Well, let's move on to road projects, because obviously road season is done now, right, for the year. There's no more asphalt plants open. There's no more big construction now until things get nicer out for the weather. But let's do a quick recap of what happened in the last year, because it seemed like it was a very busy year for road construction. And I'll start with the one that seems like it got done right at the last minute, which was finishing Valentine Road. Is that completely done now, or are there still some things to do in the spring?
For the most part, it's complete based on the on the scope of the work. But we have we can go in and finish one section of surfacing that covered, you know, some of the trenching that was done that needs to be done. So it's not in awful shape, but it is right between the, you know, right before Taconic.
Yeah.
High. And right. we'll touch that up. Other than that, that project is basically done.
Yeah. That'll be a huge relief for people that use that on a regular basis.
Right.
That was in rough shape for a while, but multiple different projects going on underground there, right? There was water, there was electrical, there were lots of different things over the last couple of years.
So there's, you know, if I were to put a timeline to this, there was work, necessary work, that deep work.
Yeah.
On a water break that basically precipitated the water, the water replacement, the water line replacement. That happened first. That happened, I want to say, in 2023.
Yeah.
And then in 2023, the electrical work began. Mm-hmm. Eversource identified some upgrades that needed to happen there. So they started working. And, you know, we said, all right, once they're done working, we'll go in and replace our water line. Mm. We can't really do that with them, you know, at the same time. So they did their work. We started our replacement of the water line. We actually started on the far side. We started on Pex Road, on that project, replacing that.
Right, because there were also hydrants put in.
Technically, that, right? Two different projects,
yeah.
But we made some of that connection, and both happening on Valentine Road.
Yeah.
So once we did that, then went on to resurfacing and it's a long process. I get it. It's, I know someone that gets it, and reminds me every single day, lives right there. So.
I can't imagine who you'd be talking about. it is something to have, the mayor, live on the street that needs to be done, right?
Yeah,
that's always
yeah.
tough. So, and then of course, we've got, the roundabout at, Upper North Street, in front of BMC. That project is wrapped now, right? They cut the ribbon. That one's a done deal. And that was, kind of a combination state project with some city involvement as well. How does that feel having that done?
Oh, it's amazing. This project, I remember the first day I walked into my role as city engineer when I first started with the city, we were talking about this project. And at that time, it had been somewhere around 8 years since that had been, you know, first devised. Right?
Definitely a marathon.
Yeah. So at times it felt like it was not going to happen. There were some times where things needed to pivot. There were some redesign involved. The city basically ran out of money for our approval for, you know, the designing effort. So we said to the state, you know, if you want to continue this, we're going to need some help here monetarily.
Yeah.
The state, you know, stepped up and assisted with this, and mainly because the state was driving some design changes, and that's why we felt comfortable telling them, you know, we will need some help with designing.
Well, that's certainly a high traffic corridor there. That's one of the busiest ones, right, in the entire county, I would imagine, not only in Pittsfield.
Right.
We've got a hospital there. You've got a lot of, you know, it's the major route, Route 7 coming through. My only question on that would be, are they working on the timing of the traffic lights between First Street, Tyler Street, and the light at, I guess it would be Springside Ave? Because I've noticed a few times where traffic seems to be getting tied up in the roundabout. Because the traffic lights are snagging it. Is that something that was predicted, and can that be worked out?
Some of the traffic will inevitably be tied up in the roundabout at certain times of the day. But we are, with the state, we are working on timing on that. It is a new system.
Yeah.
We're using the same camera system that we're actually different cameras connecting to the same system. We are upgrading. Anytime we do intersections in our city, we are upgrading to the new camera system detection. It's a system that detects vehicles by mode or type of vehicle. And
so basically two intersections are talking to each other, right? The lights are saying, okay, start this one, stop this one, whatever, to keep things flowing.
In effect, that intersection, those two signals or those two intersections, let's say, act as one.
Right.
And so even in our system, we only have one recognized intersection in how it is controlled.
Wow.
So it is something that will be tweaked So we'll see. Yeah. Expect some changes there.
And then, of course, the other project that was still going on at the time that everything, I guess, hibernates for the winter was the West and West interchange, yep. right? And that got quite a bit of pre-construction work, I guess you could say. There were some bump outs put in. There were some foundations put in, right? We haven't seen the traffic, the signalization yet. What's the timeline for that project?
Yeah, so over the winter, there's not much going to be happening, of course. But the early part of next year, after winter, spring and into the summer, we'll see the equipment being installed. Mm-hmm. We'll see the finishing sidewalk work, finishing curbing, and finishing the road pavement.
Mm-hmm.
So that project will see two new signals, the one fully new. And another one upgraded.
Mm.
So West and West will be a signalization of that intersection where it wasn't, right?
Right.
It's not signalized right now.
And that intersection, for anyone who's gone through there, can feel like the Wild West a little bit. And that's why it was certainly unsafe or on the unsafe side for pedestrians, for bicyclists, things like that, because it was hard to really tell, and still is, where if traffic's coming down at you, if you're ending up at that intersection traveling west, you got to look up here, you got to look over to the left side, who's turning, who isn't turning, who's going straight, and it really is kind of chaotic.
You have the people that act as if the intersection name, the street name, is the route.
Yeah.
And so if you're continuing straight, you put the left signals.
Yes.
And that's counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Although some people think that is the right thing to do. It just sends sends mixed signals.
Yeah. It's something you would only know if you lived here for a while.
Right.
Right.
You're going to that intersection. If there were no street names, it's just an intersection.
Yeah.
If you're going straight, you're going straight. If you're turning right, you're turning right. Or vice versa. So it is confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, we're not the first, administration to tackle this intersection.
Right.
We're doing the work now, so it hadn't been done before, but some legwork was done.
Mm-hmm.
Digging up some information on the intersection, we saw that, back in 2001 or 1999, there were some design efforts to switch and do something about this intersection. Some design efforts that we even considered before we saw that. Mm-hmm. So we were like, all right, we're thinking about the same way.
Yeah.
Eventually we settled on just a pure, signalization, mm-hmm. with no fancy things. And
a little more predictable for both motorists and for pedestrians. Obviously you have a park there. You've got a good concentration of housing and people who walk and go to buses and
very important.
Things like that. A lot of stuff going on.
Very
a lot of moving
complex.
Pieces there, right?
Very complex. Yeah. We call that a complex system, mm-hmm. and where you have driveways, you have people crossing, mm-hmm. the street, you have lots of uses,
mm-hmm.
School kids,
yep.
walking up and down,
right,
crossing to the park, being picked up on school buses. You have industrial type uses,
yep.
Eversource is right there. You have trucks coming in and out.
Yeah.
So it's very complex.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, again, it's one of those fairly heavily used routes, because you're coming down from where there's a supermarket, right, and a very highly used interchange there to get around, and then heading to BCC and everything else. So and that kind of leads me to the next discussion, which is all around safety. It's all around, because I know we've spoken on this show before, and you said that generally you always think of that first, right? When you're thinking of redesigning an area or addressing some concerns, you think about the safety of not only the motorists, but the pedestrians, bicyclists, anyone else who's using the road for, getting from A to B. And we want to talk about the Dalton Ave area. It's in the paper today, where a study was released, right, about what could be done to help that area. Right, most people know it right around the Dunkin' Donuts.
Right.
I guess they call it Lower Dalton Ave.
Yeah, that came about from, residents organizing a walk audit, a mm-hmm. safety audit. I participated in it. I went to that, and it was... I welcome those.
Yeah.
I think they only help.
Mm-hmm.
Getting involved in that way is very important. we are not alienated or alienating this type of effort, and we can use that to, you know, make change and progress and make our streets safer.
Yeah.
Right now, we're conducting under a grant from the federal government, we're conducting a traffic safety report, a traffic safety analysis of the entire city.
Mm-hmm.
And with that,
that's quite the undertaking.
Yeah, it is. it is. It is very important, mm-hmm. and it is also very technical and data driven and very heavy in that sense. We will be including people from the community in several meetings, and there will be some group meetings, stakeholder meetings, technical meetings, and there's also going to be some public meetings ahead in 2026.
Okay.
So that's to be expected. Conversations that are originating in walk audits and safety audits will, I want them to be continued in these forums, in these spaces.
Yeah. So the findings then for that particular area in the study they talked about today in the paper was, and this is the Berkshire Eagle reporting, doing a nice job with this, is to say more crosswalks were needed, right? And there were better sight lines were needed from where people park in certain areas, because basically as you're driving down that road and you're looking for someone who might be crossing to try and go to Angelina's or Dunkin' Donuts or one of those spots from the northern side of the road, motorists can't see them stepping. I have to actually step out, what they say, 12 steps or something to be seen. So, I mean, that's a tough spot, right?
So that's when we start talking about some concepts like daylighting and in transportation. There's daylighting and other things, also in public works. But in terms of traffic safety, daylighting, what that means, you know, you have people being able to be seen before they cross.
Yeah.
And very crucially, that's basically being seen not being covered by a vehicle that's parked
right by
the crosswalk.
Because then a motorist only has a certain amount of time to react, right?
Right.
So once someone is committed to walking across the street, if you couldn't see them, you didn't know that you see that motion until the very last minute. There's sometimes not much you can do.
Yeah. So very, you know, in general, there's an ordinance in the city. This is very common for many cities around the country. You cannot park within 15 feet of the intersection.
Mm. And that's why.
Right. That is trying to address this.
Mm.
Many intersections we have, there's no signage around that because it is a statutory law, let's say, an ordinance. At the same time, we have people not knowing the ordinance, not caring too much, mix of both, you know.
It has to be spelled out for people.
They need to park somewhere.
Yeah.
You park there.
It needs a signage and it needs the yellow striped painting around the corners and things for people to get it.
So you have now several options. You start from not having anything to installing signage.
Mm-hmm.
You start to get people ignoring that. Mm-hmm. I'm only here for 20 minutes. You know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be quick. And then you park there and that you're right there. Mm. You being quick and then the next person being quick and the next person being quick. You have cars that are blocking and preventing the pedestrian, the vulnerable user of that intersection to be invisible by the vehicles driving.
Right.
So next steps are, you know, painting, right, on the ground. Still, people can ignore that.
Yeah.
What? I'm going to ask you, what do you think is the most effective way of preventing people from parking in the corner of an intersection? I'm testing
Spike
you.
Spike strips.
Nope. We've talked about this here before, and that is bump outs.
Bump outs. I was going to ask you about bump outs. I knew it would come up.
So but that is one of the main purposes of bump outs.
Yeah.
They help with preventing people parking because you cannot, or you're on top of the sidewalk.
Yep, and that's the same one, I think, of the one on South Street right there at the corner of West Housatonic Street. It doesn't seem to prevent the trucks from trying to drive over it, amazingly so, but it does, for the most part, prevent that parking there, right?
Yeah.
So then that's why it's important, and I'm glad we got the word bump outs in before the end of the show. Commissioner Ricardo Morales, thanks again for being
thanks
here
for
today. We
me.
Didn't cover everything I had on my paper, but, you know, we'll get to that next time, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, and good luck with the rest of the winter. Happy holidays to you and everyone at the Public Works Department.
Same.
All right. Thank you, everybody. It's been great having you joining us this morning for the show. And Bill Sturgeon will be back for a show tomorrow morning. So take care, and we'll see you again next week. Yeah.